there's a promised land made for all the free. When a race on earth is run, where no broken dreams will mar our memory, it'll be worth it all when we get home. It'll be worth it all just to see his face when he claims us for his own. Then 10 million years to sing Amazing Grace. It'll be worth it all when we get home. There's no sad farewells, there are no tear-stained eyes, there are no heartache, grief, or woe. There no shattered hope will ever cloud the skies. It'll be worth it all when we get home. It'll be worth it all just to see his face when he claims us for his own. Then 10 million years to sing Amazing Grace. It'll be worth it all when we get home. It'll be worth it all when we get home.
Amen. Thank you for that. Take your Bibles and open them up to the book of Nehemiah, please. Book of Nehemiah, chapter number 4. Nehemiah chapter 4, as you find that, would you stand to your feet as we read the Word of God tonight? Nehemiah in chapter number 4, and we'll read verse number 1 through verse number 6. Nehemiah chapter 4, beginning on verse number 1, reading down to verse number 6. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took indignation and mocked the Jews, and he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders." Our text here is this, verse number 6. "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." As you look at this passage here about this book of Nehemiah, I love this book. And it's a book about building and about laboring and doing the work of God that God had put in the heart of Nehemiah. And they went back to Jerusalem, and he did a tour of the city for 3 days and looked at how everything had been destroyed, a few men with him, and didn't say anything for that first period of time. And then he brought them together and shared a vision with them how they could rebuild and continue the work of God and rebuild the walls in Jerusalem. Our text tonight again is that verse. It says, "So built we the wall," verse number 6, "and all the wall was joined together thereof unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for this night and the service. Thank you for the faithful laborers and the work that's been done today. But please meet with us again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. In this passage here again, as Nehemiah, as they go back, and just, you can imagine, the city was destroyed. Destroyed, burnt and destroyed, and the walls were the protection for the city. The enemy could come in, and the walls were their safety. And so when Nehemiah went back and he heard about what had been destroyed, when he saw it, he wept. He prayed to God. He got a vision from the Lord, and he gathered some men together and gave them a challenge in chapter number 1 chapter number 2, if you would turn back there, please, in verse number 17. As Nehemiah gathered the people together after he kind of surveyed the work and did a landscape and an idea of what was needed to be done, and got a command from God. In Nehemiah 2:17, it says, "Then said I unto them, Ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, Let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." As you look through the book of Nehemiah, it's a very much of a theme of working and laboring for the Lord. Throughout this book, 21 times the word work is used. Not even the word build or anything on top of that. The word work is used 21 times here in just these few chapters, I believe 13 chapters. And as they worked, it wasn't without difficulty. They had people mocking them, as we saw in our passage in chapter number 4. And they had people mocking them and people that were looking to be their enemies. So they'd work side by side with one hand building the wall, another one with a weapon in their hand. And they prayed and they kept laboring. And the theme for tonight, again, is the people having a mind to work. The message tonight is really a message for our church family. And it's not trying to, not for anyone else exactly, but a message for our church family. I want to challenge you about this, about a subject tonight. We're going to give you some details about some work that we have coming up for some projects that we have. You say, but I thought we'd been busy. Yes, we have. But we have some more work coming up as well. Some projects we're going to do, and I'll present those some of those things to you here in a little bit. And I'd like to ask for a couple of things. I'd like to ask for your heart and for your help. I'd like to ask for your heart to listen. And I believe a vision that the Lord has given to me as your pastor to try to relay on to the church. And I want to ask for you as a church to help. There's nothing that I can do to lead this church without the church being behind the work that's going on. I am so blessed that we have a church that works for the Lord. Every week, every Sunday, every Wednesday, every day of the week. I don't know if you know that. If you ever come by the church on a weekday, someone is here doing some kind of work, right? And I'm not even just talking about the staff, although we should be here working as well. But there's people that are volunteering here almost every day doing some kind of work that needs to be done, preparing for a project or upkeeping the buildings or preparing for a project. There's always something to be done. Can you imagine your house being 35,000 square feet? That may sound nice until you realize that you have to clean it and upkeep it and all the kind of stuff that has to do with that. The work of God is more than buildings, though. We know that, right? It's more than a property, more than buildings. The work of God is people. And people's lives. It's not about a building and project and property and all that. It's about people's lives. And I'm thankful that we have a church, I believe, that has a mind to work. Laziness has so much corrupted our society today and our country, where people don't want to work. People want to sit back and just get a paycheck, to the point where you hear of people that say, well, if I work, I'll get less money than from what the government gives me. I'd rather sit home and get a check that comes in once a month for doing nothing. People that are capable and physically able to, but too lazy to go get a job and work. That's a disgrace. That's sad. But may we never come to the place as a church where we're not looking to labor and work for the Lord. Every Sunday, I've counted it up before, and I don't remember the number off the top of my head, the number of labors every week getting on buses when it's 100-plus degrees and smoky outside. I thank the Lord for our bus workers. Amen? You'll appreciate the bus workers after you spend one Sunday on the bus routes. And you know how that works if you've ridden on a bus or driven a bus. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers that every week study and prepare and pray and invest in young people's lives. I'm thankful for our nursery workers. Amen? We better get a better amen than that. Because if all the kids were in here, we wouldn't have much of a church service with all the kids invading the church. But I'm thankful for our nursery workers. Amen? And laborers and King's Kids and so many ministries on top of that. People that are laboring, doing the work of the Lord. I believe that our church would be said, as it is in the book of Nehemiah, that the people had a mind to work. May we never get to the place as a church where we're not looking to do the work, but we're looking to pass the buck to someone else. you know, well, that's somebody else's job to do. And yes, people do have duties and jobs that are given and areas of responsibility, but may we look at it as a job that's in front of me as an opportunity to do a work for the Lord, right? Every Sunday, every Wednesday, throughout the week, Saturday soul winning time, that we get opportunities to labor for the Lord, that we get to work for the Lord. I want to take you on a journey through the book of Nehemiah as we look at this word of work in Nehemiah chapter 2. Maybe you're thinking, you're setting me up tonight preaching about work. Yes, I am. We'll get to that later. But in Nehemiah chapter number 2, I'm not setting you up, but kind of it's just a theme for the night that the Lord put on my heart. In Nehemiah 2:16, we were just there. It says, "And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I as yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work." Turn down to, we looked at verse number 18. It says, in verse number 18 here, it says, I'm looking at it here. "Then I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me, as the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse number 5. And we're skipping through different verses here because it would be too long to go verse by verse through the whole book of Nehemiah, or we'd be here till midnight tonight. I didn't hear any amens on that part. In Nehemiah 3:5, it says, "And next to them the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord." Nehemiah 4:6, and we looked at this verse. It says, "For the people had a mind to work." Looked down at verse number 11 of the same chapter, "And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease." Understand this, church, that as we continue to labor and work for the Lord, the devil is looking for ways to hinder the work of God. Every week, every day, Satan is trying to hinder, and it's usually in electronics, right? And something mechanical, and there's something that's going to go wrong. You can bank on it. You can bet on it. Not that we shouldn't bet. Just preached about that. But you can count on it. When you plan to do something great for God, some kind of disaster is going to happen, right? Something's going to happen. A toilet's going to overflow. Someone's calling the police for, you know, like there's something happening at church. It's an eventful place. Come to church. It's real life television, all right? And just come. There's things going on. And the devil is always looking to hinder the work of the Lord. Nehemiah 4:15, it says, "And it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the work of the wall, every one unto his work." It's amazing as you look through this book that people went side by side and labored together. And they took the part in front of their house and they labored side by side by side. And they teamed up, if you will. Teamwork, and they work together to labor to build the wall and do the work of the Lord. Nehemiah 4:16, "It came to pass after the time went forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. And as they went to work, they also went to war." They were ready to protect the wall. They were ready to protect the work of the Lord as they went to do God's work. In Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse number 19, it says, "And I said unto the nobles, to the rulers, to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated unto the wall, one far from another." They said, the work is great. The work is great. I want you to think about this in regards to the work of the Lord. Verse number 21, we continue in this chapter. "So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared." You realize that the work of the Lord is work, right? Understand that. When we come to church, we're coming to work. You said, no. I go to work Monday to Friday. Sunday's my day off. No, Sunday's the day we get to come to work for God. Monday to Friday, you go to work for a paycheck. Praise the Lord for that too. But on Sunday, we get to work for an eternal investment, laying up treasures in heaven. In Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse number 16, Nehemiah 5:16, it says, "Yea, also I continued in the work of this wall. Neither bought we any land, neither all my servants were gathered thither unto the work. Chapter 6, verse 3. And there was a challenge to get them to come down from the wall. It says, I sent messages unto them, saying, I'm doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? They said, just come down here and talk for a little bit. Don't, you know, just let's just have a conversation. They said, I'm not coming down from the work. I'm not coming down from the wall because there's a great work to do. Chapter 6, verse number 9, it says, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Again, the enemy is looking to discourage and to defeat Christians. There's a lot of Christians, if we're not putting on that armor of God every day, if we're not ready to battle and fight, putting on that shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, every day the enemy is coming at us, saying, let's just come down, let's just have a conversation. Let's talk for a little bit. Just take 1 week off. Just take a day off. That's dangerous as a Christian, to take time off. Summertime is a time of vacations, right? And I hope you get time with your family for vacation. But never take a vacation from the Lord. Amen? Never take a vacation from your prayer time. Never take a vacation from your Bible time and from going to church. Never take a vacation from the Lord. Let's stay busy in the work of the Lord. Nehemiah chapter number 6, and look at verse number 9. It says here, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. I believe we read that one already. We're going to skip down a couple here, because there's a few more to go. In verse in Nehemiah chapter 13 and verse number 10, we'll skip to the end here. Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10, it says, I perceive that the portions of the Levites had not been given unto them, for the Levites and the singers that did the work were fled every one to his field. Seeing the work continuing there and those that were fleeing from the work, I mistook you, and I need to bring you back to chapter 6 and verse number 15. And this is really where we'll end with our passage here tonight. The work continued throughout this book, but in chapter 6 and verse number 15, it says this, so the wall was, what's the next word? Finished. Don't you love it when the job's done? When it's finished and it's done, it's sealed up, it's completed. The wall was finished in the 25th day of the month, Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass, when all our enemies heard thereof, that all the heathen that were about us saw these things. They were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived, look at this, that the work was wrought of our God. The ones that were discouraging them and saying, come down from the wall, just talk with us. The ones that were trying to fight them and discourage them, when they heard it was done, they were discouraged. It's great when the enemy gets discouraged, right? It's great when the devil gets discouraged, the enemy gets discouraged. They don't try, because they're going to keep laboring and working for the Lord. And when they finish the work, finished, done, completed, then it says they were discouraged and they wrought that this work was of our God. It's one thing to labor and to work and to do a project. I don't know about you, but there's countless projects I could do at my house right now. If you have the time and the money, the tools, or the number of teenagers to get it done, there's many projects that I could do right now. We had a section of a fence fall over, and the wood had kind of rotted, and kind of two sections had fallen over, and we had just an opening we're back up to a school, and it was an opening there for a while. And I looked at it over and over, and I thought, I need to get it done. And, you know, you ever procrastinate those jobs that you really don't want to do, right? And kind of put it off for a little bit, thought, we've got to get it done. And so we got up there, and we dug the concrete out for this post that went down to China, and we dug this concrete. It was huge. We dug it out and put some new concrete in and a post in, and went to put the fence up and had to buy new boards. And it's always, you know, it's never one-stop shop to do a project, is it? Getting the screws from here and the wood from there, and no one has it here. And I was driving all over creation trying to find what I needed just to put my fence back up. People have fences. Why don't we have the tools and parts for the fences. And so we got it put up. And we were looking at it the other day, and I was telling Joel, isn't it nice that the project's done? I said, I keep looking at the fence up and appreciating a fence that's done, completed, and it's finished. And hopefully not ever falling down again. If it is, I'm blaming it on Joel. No, I'm just kidding. Completing the work. I remember as a boy growing up learning how to work. And we need to teach our young people how to work. Amen? So much today that people want to make things like easier and softer for their kids. We don't need it easier and softer for our kids, all right? We need to teach our young people how to work and labor for the Lord and in life. Remember as a boy learning how to work? I remember learning how to mow the grass. Boys, you remember learning how to mow the grass for the first time? Maybe girls too. I remember mowing the grass for the first time thinking, this is great. This is wonderful. I get to mow the grass all by myself. Not realizing that I was going to get to mow the grass all by myself for years to come. Remember learning how to mow and weedy and weedy and weedy and weedy. Springtime, I dreaded springtime. We lived on many acres, but we probably kept up about 2 acres of it. And it was my job to weed eat the yard. And my dad would say, okay, you need to weed eat here, and this will take you 45 minutes. I didn't realize that was a lie. And this one will take you an hour. I didn't realize that that was a lie. And I was out there all day by myself. No one to encourage me. You know, no one brought me snacks and drinks and babying me. And I survived somehow. I fought off the snakes and I weed whacked all the drip line for all of the all the trees that we had. I tore them all up. I promise you I did. Learning how to work. I remember learning how to stack wood. I hated stacking wood. It was a mound of wood, me and wood and a wheelbarrow. But there's things that I learned as a young man, learning how to work. Learning how to sweat and bleed, not profusely, but just a little bit. Not a bad thing for boys to do. Again, not a lot. Learning how to dig a hole and carrying buckets of water. Learning how to labor. Work's not a bad thing, right? Work is a good thing. But let me challenge you with this. The Lord's work is the greatest work. Amen? The Lord's work is the greatest work. Why? Because it's an eternal work. The Bible says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves do not break through nor steal. Laying up treasures in heaven. Every day, every week, we're laying up treasures in heaven. We had a row of young men. It wasn't the offensive line, all of it, but all football players from Shasta College that were here this morning. One of them moved here from Washington, and the pastor called me, and Michael Paul got to go and meet them, and four of them got saved Saturday morning at the doorstep there. How exciting was that? And they all came this morning, and I was like, I've got protection today. A whole football team right there and ready to go. That's an eternal work. Amen? Thinking about people getting saved all throughout the auditorium, all throughout the day and the week. It's an eternal work. An eternal work. Getting to be part of the work of God. Church, I want to challenge you with this, that we need to have a mind to work. We need to have a mind. When it comes to God's work, let's not come on Sunday and say, oh, I'm here and I'm not going to do anything. May we come to church thinking, what can I do? How can I help? How can I labor? What can I do to help somebody? How can I get involved in Vacation Bible School? How can I get involved in Vacation Bible School? We'll try 3 times. How can I get involved in Vacation Bible School? Amen. Because people have a mind to work. We keep it busy. I'm kind of sorry, but not. All right? We need to keep busy as a church. If we're not, then what are we doing? We need to be reaching souls for Christ. I mean, it's back to back to back sometimes, but it's an eternal work. It's the greatest work. We must be after souls every day. Every day we must be after souls. Get an invitation out. Get a gospel witness out every day. Be inviting someone. Why? It's an eternal work. It's not, well, Sunday is done. I get to take off my Christian hat and put on my work hat for the week. No, you're a Christian all day long, all week long. It's an eternal work. May we have a mind to work. The Lord's work is the greatest work, but also is this, the Lord's work takes people or laborers. The Lord's work takes laborers. It takes people. Some of the events we run, it takes 50, 75, 100 people to run some events and outreach that we have. And I'm thankful that we have people that are ready to labor and work and to get into the work of the Lord. The Bible says the harvest truly is plenteous. Look at this. But the laborers are few. How sad is that? Many churches, the laborers are few. Hey, we could use some more laborers. Every day, every week, we could use more laborers somewhere. And sometimes there's people that they have like 10 hats on. They're going from this position to this job to this ministry to this area. We need laborers in the work. Shasta Baptist Church, we must be busy about the work of the Lord. The Lord's work, we kind of talked about already, but it takes labor. It takes work. Sometimes it's getting up early, staying late. It takes some labor, some effort to be a part of the work of the Lord. Now, church, I tell you this and I say thank you because many people, the majority, go to work all week long, sometimes working 5-6 days a week, and then come Saturday, come Sunday, ready to work. Not a day off. And I thank you for your labor and the work of the Lord. Thank you for the investment. Thank you for the testimony that you're showing to our young people, to our teenagers, our kids. I'm thankful our young people are learning how to be a part of the ministry at Shasta Baptist Church, aren't you? Our young people get to be involved in the work of the Lord. The Lord's work, it takes time. It takes time. The Lord's work isn't about punching in the clock and punching out. The Lord's work, it continues. There's always something to do for the work of God. It takes time. The Lord's work, you know we were getting there, but it takes money. It does. The Lord's work takes money. We don't pass the offering plates just for something to do every Sunday. You think, you know, man, we don't need it. No, we need to take an offering. We need to take two offerings, maybe three. But the Lord's work, it takes money. And God's work is always funded by the people at the local New Testament church. Amen? God's work is funded by the people at Shasta Baptist Church that we get to give to labor. The Bible says where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you're not already, be involved in tithing. Tithing is not a suggestion, it's a command. Amen? It's a command. And God said, I command you to give that 10%, but He said, I'll pour out the windows of blessing upon you if you obey and tithe. Isn't that wonderful? That God will bless you if you just simply obey and do what He asks. But He said, He'll curse you if you don't when we rob God. If you're not faithful in giving and tithing, giving to the work here, you need to be. Amen? We need to be obedient, giving to the work of God and missions, in missions giving. We have missionaries all around the world. Be involved in missions giving. You say, well, I can't give that much. It's not about the amount. It's about the sacrifice. It's about the investment in souls. The Lord's work takes money. The Lord's work takes prayer. It takes prayer. We better not be laboring so much that we're not spending time with God praying for our ministries. We better not be going to do the work, but not spending the time behind the scenes with the Lord to make sure our heart is right with God and praying for those kids and praying for that bus route and praying for the library and the nursery and the buildings and all every week, praying for God's protection on our property. Think about that. Praying for God's protection on our property. I'm not trying to scare you, but churches can be a target by the devil and by the world. Praying for God's protection. We need a covering of prayer on this property like no other place. That we pray for our church and for our leaders and our ministries, for the laborers. We have a great and a wonderful church of laborers, but we must continue working for the Lord. Why? Because the night is coming. Right? The night is coming when no man can work. Our last opportunity could be today. What if the Lord calls us home as a church by the rapture? Or what if the Lord calls you home and it's your appointed time to meet the Lord? It could be today. Are you laboring for the Lord? You say, I can't do much, but what can you do for God? I can't do much. I can only pray. How can we say I can only pray like it's not much? Right? If that's all you can do, that's a great investment. Be praying. Be laboring. Be a part of the work of the Lord. We get to be a part of the greatest work. I love coming to Shasta Baptist Church. I love coming here and seeing the gates open and cars piling in. Man, you're coming down West Side Road when it's time to come to church, It's a traffic, right? That's traffic in Reading. Like going through one stoplight and having to wait is traffic in Reading, you know? But I love seeing cars piling in here and buses and our bus kids coming and not running up and down the hallways, but running up and down the hallways, all right? And I love hearing about souls being saved and people getting baptized and joining the church and giving. I love getting to be a part of the work of the Lord. May we never get tired of working for the Lord. You know, after a period of time, we can start getting discontent with the work of God. We can start fighting with each other, getting upset how someone does something, and it gets to be about personalities and conflicts of things that really don't matter. Things that aren't biblically areas that we need to separate on or to hold the line on. Just fighting about things. Quitting on God. May we never get to that place. May we continue to labor for the Lord. It's a great work, and we have great labors. I mention this often, but as you look around the room, there are labors everywhere. Everywhere. In ministries and soul winning and praying and working on projects and big days, labors everywhere. Let's have a mind to work. Let's not lose that. Let's not get tired of the work. Let's not come down from the work and quit on that. May we continue going forward for the Lord. I'm going to present to you in a little bit. We'll have an invitation time, but in a little bit we'll present some work that we have coming up. I want to challenge you with this, to have a mind to work. With head bowed and eyes closed, would you stand to your feet? We'll have an invitation time for a moment. A mind to work. I'm thankful for the labors, the work, but there's much more to do. May we thank the Lord that we get to be a part of His work. But may we also be looking for more that we can do for the work of the Lord. Didn't